Good evening, everyone. This is Dolores Cannon again with the Metaphysical Hour. And we don't have any guests tonight because we're just going to be talking. But we're going to talk about the conference we just had. But if anyone wants to call in, it's perfectly okay because we're just going to be talking about a variety of things tonight. The number to call if you want to call in is 1-888-815-9756. 888-815-9756. Now, we just finished our fifth transformation conference, and every year it gets bigger and better. And we were over in the John Q. Hammond Center, which is the largest venue in Arkansas. And it was fantastic. Everybody was so pleased with it.
We found our home. That's our home.
We're going to stay there now because the other places we kept outgrowing them. And they said, this one can be expanded. It can hold over 1,000 people if it's expanded all the way.
No, 4,000.
4,000?
Over 4,000.
If we really expand it all the way, well, yeah. who's to say we can't do it?
Right.
But I know we used the one big room was for the vendors, and we had so many vendors, we turned away about six of them in the week before the conference.
Right.
And they were all saying they had fantastic sales, too, and they were very happy.
Mm-hmm.
We always have to keep our vendors happy. That's the lifeblood of any conference. And then we had the huge room for the speakers. So that's the one that can be expanded. It can be moved around anyway. And we had a lot of people there, and everybody was – I never heard anybody say anything negative at all. It was all very positive.
Well, the energy in that building is fantastic, and that's like – you know, you say we outgrew the other ones. It was like sometimes the energy just wasn't quite a full, complete fit. And so this one – that's what I'm saying. We found our home. It was a perfect fit. The energy was so fantastic. And
the hotel part was fine, and then the – the venue was fine. So we're going to stay there now. But everybody, every time we have had a conference, they always say that the energy is magical. They always tell us it's the best one they've ever been to. So that makes us feel good to know that. When you put a lot of work into something, you do want to know if it's going to pay off anyway. Okay, so we're going to talk a little bit about the things that happened there. At least this year, we didn't have problems with the airlines.
No. Well, that was from weather that year. I think I can't remember if it was rain or wind or what. I think it was wind in Dallas.
They were delayed in Dallas, and we were really worried we weren't going to get them in here.
Right. But this year, everybody got in just fine. Everything was just, that's the thing. It was all just running very, very smoothly.
Perfect. We didn't have any, we can't complain about anything. It was just beautiful. And all the speakers were fantastic. But, of course, we had Lindsay Wagner, and she is one fantastic woman.
Oh, my goodness. That was a treat. That was such a treat.
She is, I don't like to use the word sweet too much, but she was so natural and relaxed, and she's just such a beautiful person.
She's genuine.
She is.
Yes. She, and it's okay to use sweet, because she was. She's just,
she is genuine.
She was genuine, yes.
When you start mixing with a lot of people from Hollywood, you're going to get into ego.
Well, but I think that's with anything.
With
know,
anything. But I think a lot of the people, if they've been around for a while, they get past that ego. And they are genuine if they're going to stay in there. And she was. She was just, it was so perfect. The only thing she was worried about is she usually does longer workshops. Like 3 to 4 days. And she works a lot with, what's she talking about? Her methods of healing and helping
and
people.
And the geeksha, the oneness.
And helping people with their problems. And I guess it's kind of like a self-help seminars is what she does.
Well, they help themselves, and they also, it's teaching them to, I believe, go on and do that with other people.
Yeah, she's
good. But it's phenomenal. I mean, way, you know, to help people do things immediately. So
she was going to train people because, but the problem was she's used to 3 or 4 day workshops. She was worried how she was going to condense that down into just 3 hours. But, you know, because it would mean a restructuring of her whole thing.
Right.
But she did very well.
Yes, she did. It was great.
And the people loved it. And she was talking about, I think that other people might know it out there, about tapping different parts of the body to for healing.
Well, to release things.
Because she said you don't have to really know where it came from. You just tap different parts of the body, and it releases the pent-up emotions.
Right, and things were happening right there in that room. I mean, the testimonials were just, you know, that things were gone immediately just from doing that right then.
Yeah,
so.
Because she was guiding people through that. And, yeah, it's just a different method that I've never participated in.
Me either. It was great.
And then she did the oneness blessing, where most of the people were laying around on the floor. And
I was one of them.
Beautiful music that she guides people through. And I think other people out there probably have heard of the oneness blessing before. And she had the CDs that she was selling afterwards that have the music and the... where she talks the person through it.
Right.
And that was really nice. Everybody liked that. It was just very peaceful.
Yeah, very. Some people were talking about different things that, you know, it's like there's nothing expected that you experience, but, you know, people experience different things. And I know when I was doing it, I kept seeing a lot of colors, indigo being a major one. But it was like some people were talking about swirling colors. I guess it could have been swirling. I just know it was a lot of colors, you know, mainly indigo moving in and out. And someone told me before that when you see indigo in a meditative state, that that's your higher self.
Oh,
so
okay.
I thought, I always welcome that color when it comes in. So,
But that was the meditation part.
Yes.
What did you hear other people, were they saying things had been taken away when she was doing it?
Yes, one person later was talking about he was addressing an issue of fear. And when he first did the first tapping, he said immediately he got this horrible headache. And that's what she was saying, was sometimes as it unfolds from one area, because it's buried, it's into an area, and when you release it, it will move. And so then you do. Then she did another one on that one, and he said immediately it was gone, and it was never to return. So, so that meant that that issue, whatever he had the fear of, was now gone.
Gone forever.
So, yes, it was now transmuted, transformed.
It would make sense if it's an emotion that's been buried and held on to for many, many, many years,
lodged into a part,
or lifetimes even.
Yes.
That it is doesn't want to be released, and it hangs on, and that would give physical symptoms.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And then when it was, she's saying there's like layers or a tentacle, she was calling them, you know, where they're moving in these different directions. And sometimes you have to do it layer by layer by layer, but you're releasing it as you do it. So, but it's real fast, you know, you just keep doing it.
Because in my work, we go back and find the cause,
right?
Which is also fast. But
absolutely.
This one, you don't have to find it. Just, will I guess, willing to release it and let it go.
Right.
That's the main thing, and then it just went away.
Well, did you notice the one thing she did where she had the people come up on stage where it was about their the intent? They might say, I like you, but they're thinking, I hate you, and the person receiving that was getting the I hate you message.
Oh, it's
not the words. It was like, you know, where I can't remember what she told him to think while he was saying it, but it was something to that effect, like, I don't like you, you make me uncomfortable. And she reacted to that message, not to what he said. I thought that was really cool.
That we do pick up the mental message on another level.
Yes, absolutely. And it was, she was testing it with kinesiology, showing that, you know, she may have been standing there going, okay, I'm reacting to what you say, but her body knew different. It knew.
That's
so,
where you push on the outstretched arm and the muscle testing.
Right.
That some people do.
And you know, if what they're saying is truth, or if they're okay with what they're processing or whatever. So that was really...
Well, people are always saying one thing and meaning something else.
Right, absolutely.
Because in society...
Or
you,
thinking something else.
Yeah, in society, you can't come out and really say what you think.
No, but that's showing you, though, the other person knows your
they
intent.
Can pick
they,
it up on another level.
Absolutely, you do know. And if you're feeling uncomfortable, that's why, or... You know, on another level, you know exactly what they're thinking and everything.
On. They don't have to say anything.
Right.
That's what I always tell people. Trust those instincts, those feelings that you have. If you don't feel comfortable around someone and you can't figure out why, there could be things like that that your other part of you is picking up.
Right. Well, and then you were talking about how your method is instantaneous, too. There are just a lot of different ways of, you know, that, and like she was saying, like Lindsay was saying, we're in a time now, this is part of this, where everything's speeding up. Well, so are the healing methods, where they're, and just like there always have been, a whole lot of different healing methods. Well, now there's a whole lot of fast healing methods.
Mm-hmm.
It's just what resonates to all these different people. So, because not one is going to work for everybody. I mean, it might, but not everybody's going to resonate to it. So,
well, a lot of people take a lot of different classes, and they aren't even sure what they want to do
mm-hmm.
or what they want to practice. And some of them become, what do you want to call, classes that, you know, junkies
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
to where they just
right.
want to keep, they just keep going back
right.
and taking them all.
Mm-hmm.
I've had some of them tell me, well, next time I'm going to go back and take that one for real. It was just play.
Well, I think they're testing the waters.
Uh-huh.
They may or may not ever do it, but it really is okay. I mean, they're exposing themselves to things, and they're just trying to find what works for them.
Mm-hmm.
And through all this, they probably will, hopefully.
There's
so
many different modalities.
Mm-hmm.
And then with them, sometimes they will take many, and then they will combine it and come
mm-hmm.
up with their own method.
Absolutely.
Which is fine. That's what I did.
Right.
Whatever works for them is the main thing.
Mm-hmm.
There's no right and there's no wrong, just as long as you don't harm anyone.
Well, what's coming to me now, too, is, remember, we're bringing all this stuff from long ago. So that's where, you know, no right, no wrong. You say you take it and you essentially you're morphing it. You're reapplying what you used to know. So in one sense, you're thinking, oh, I'm just creating this. Well, you're really just bringing what you used to do or what you used to know and making it apply to now.
There's
so,
nothing new, really. You always
right.
call it the new old information.
Right. Absolutely.
Because I've had people to go back to past lives when they were
mm-hmm.
very gifted healers,
mm-hmm.
they could do anything, because in the mm-hmm. past they used color, they used crystals, they used sound,
mm-hmm.
and they became very adept at them. These were the secret mystery schools in Atlantis
mm-hmm.
and places like that. And so anything you've ever learned in another life, you never lose. It's always in your computer bank in your
right.
mind.
And we can ask for it. I mean, I had a, this is coming, I get reminded of things, so I guess it's why.
Yeah.
I mean, well, you draw on these different characters, you know? I mean, you were different things. And
in other lives.
Remember, they're all pieces and parts of us now, and I guess I'm going to do a convoluted thing here as far as this time, we're bringing all of our pieces and parts back together. So that's where you may be needing some of these parts from. Where another, before, a life was fine just having what you knew now. Where now, we're pulling all this stuff in from all these other dimensions and lifetimes and, you know, everything. So
because it's this time. You're dropping
right.
away with what you don't need anymore and what is not necessary, what's harmful, and
mm-hmm.
we're moving toward what is the right way.
Right. And you're saying we're bringing these things back from this other time. You can find it.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely you can, and you just call on it. It's part of you. It's not like you're taking from anything that you don't already have. It's part of you.
It's there. We forgot it because
mm-hmm.
we didn't need it now.
Right.
And I do have people who have lifetimes like that, and they want to know beforehand, if I had a life where I knew how to heal, if I knew how to do these things, can I bring the knowledge
mm-hmm.
back? And you can if it's appropriate.
Right.
And that's what we always find out, because maybe you, what if you abused the gift in another
mm-hmm.
lifetime? Then it wouldn't be advisable to bring it back.
Well, unless this is a test to bring it back and use it correctly this time. Maybe you could use it the opposite way.
Mm-hmm.
But that would be your intention, and you'd have to really be conscious of that. So
that's what I find out when we're doing the session. Is it appropriate
mm-hmm.
to bring it back now?
Right.
And many people are said yes, because now is the time. We'll
mm-hmm.
bring back all the methods they used to use. And so
right.
all of this is nothing new. It's all coming
right.
back.
And
sound,
so much
light,
of this
color.
Was abused in Atlantis or other places, and so why not? That to me, that is a time of redemption. Okay, that we're all back. That's probably one of the things we're trying, you know, we're working to do everything opposite. Well, wouldn't that be one of the things if you had the same skills that you had before, but now you're going to consciously use it the other way?
For the good.
Right.
Without the need of power and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But I think she did a fantastic job.
Oh, she did.
Then we had dinner afterwards. We got to really know her, and
mm-hmm.
she was so funny. She was telling mm-hmm. so many funny stories.
Yes.
And it was a real delight, a real treat.
Absolutely.
To be with her.
Oh, we were introduced to Indian food. I had never had it before, and I really liked it. So.
Well, I had it when I was in India, when I was in New Delhi for the Past Life Conference I had to speak at. And I didn't really like it because it's sometimes spicy.
Well, that's what that sauce was for. It really toned it down.
Oh, okay.
Made it good. Mm-hmm. And then that drink, that mango lassi smoothie, it was good.
Uh-huh. Well, I had a friend that went with me when we went to New Delhi, and we had that. And she said, oh, I like the spicy food. It makes my tongue dance. I said, I don't want my tongue to dance. I don't like that kind of food.
The first bite of food, my tongue was dancing. I was like, okay, we got to do this differently here.
It's some kind of spice or whatever, but it is very good, and it's different because Lindsay is a vegetarian.
Right. Mm-hmm. But you could tell she was an expert at that food. She knew how to order for everybody, and
she knew what it all was.
Yeah.
So it was delightful because she is such a wonderful person. And she told us that they are bringing the Bionic Woman series back.
Yeah.
It was back in the 70s, I think, is when it was on. And they've been little pieces of it on the YouTube.
Right.
A lot of the new generation haven't got a clue who she was.
No, they know her as the sleep number bed person.
And the advertising.
Oh, my. Uh-huh.
She had a whole lot before that. Mm-hmm. She's made lots of movies, too.
Mm-hmm.
But the Bionic Woman series, they're bringing that back on DVD.
Mm-hmm.
So people are going to be able to see it again.
Right. That'd be good.
They're bringing a lot of those old series back, she said.
Right.
And also, she's going to be on the Sci-Fi Channel.
Mm-hmm.
They got a new series. It's called Warehouse 13, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Warehouse 13. And it's going to be on the Sci-Fi Channel. And she's got a part in that. She plays a doctor.
Right.
And she said she's done a couple of episodes, but there's a possibility it may turn into a continuing character in that show.
Yeah, that'd be good.
So she's still doing a lot of things.
Yeah.
But she's definitely into her spiritual part and into her metaphysical part, but she's still acting.
Mm-hmm.
And she looked great, I thought.
Oh, yes, absolutely. She's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. So she's got a whole lot ahead of her.
Mm-hmm.
We were with Blair Styra was with us,
and
he's the psychic, and he looked at her and he said, you're going to see a resurgence in your film career, didn't he?
Right. Yes, he did.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he did. So I think we'll be seeing much more of her.
She never really stopped.
No.
That now there's going to be more and better parts. And
well,
that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But it was a real honor and a treat to get to meet her and get to know her, and it was it's just an added bonus to everything else.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, while we were talking about different modes of healing, we had Sherry Edwards at the conference, and she is the pioneer in sound healing.
Mm-hmm.
And she was talking about that. She had ways of telling people what their tones were. And it got very complex. I was having a hard time understanding it because it was getting it over my head. Which isn't hard to do when it gets into some of these things. But she's got it into like a scientific way of doing it.
Right. I think it's because she talks a lot to doctors and things, and so she has to speak their language. And, she does have scientific proof for everything that she does, and this is why this works and da-da-da-da-da. And so that's what that was about.
Mm-hmm.
And, but I know many people that were seeing her, and they're talking about it's just amazing what she was. How she helped them. So.
Yeah, and she was giving away free software that people could find their tones and can help them. But it is true, we all have our own frequency and our own vibration.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone is different. And nobody's frequency or vibration is the same.
No.
I was thinking, look at how many millions of vibrations there would have to be if you figure all the people on Earth.
Yeah, but you know what they say, like from the astral plane and everything, when they come to... They talk about when they come to see, they know you by your frequency.
Yes.
Not by your name or not by your appearance, it's by your frequency.
Yes.
And that's how you know them, too. You know if you experience beings around you, you know them by their energy, by their frequency, you know? So
Well, human beings are the ones that have to put labels on everything. We have to have a name.
But even we know, if we had ourselves shielded where we couldn't see who was coming in, we could tap into that also. We would know their frequency.
Well,
we'd
pick
energy.
Up on it, yeah, without really realizing what we were doing.
Because you know the feel of a person, and that's what that's about. It's their frequency.
That goes back to if you feel somebody that you're not comfortable with.
Right.
To trust that.
But she's going on as far as it's their voice frequency, rather than we're talking about the whole energetic being frequency.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, yeah, it's telling me that your voice is a representation of your energetic frequency.
Okay. Because there's, I'm just thinking of all the millions of people in the world, and everybody's got a different
just
frequency.
Just like all different fingerprints.
That's true. They
so,
said none is alike, so I guess it is. Yeah. Everyone is unique in that way, too, that they all have their own frequency. The ETs have said in my books, too, that they identify people by frequency.
Right. Yeah.
Because names are just what human beings have to use.
Look how many names are the same.
Yeah, true.
So,
So anyway, yeah, she gave a two-hour talk on that, and it was different. And she is working with the doctors in the hospital. She has her institute that she is really going a long way with the sound.
Right, now, she has a program, and I didn't see all of her talks. I don't know if she talked about this in there. But it's her mission to, like, have a type of clinic in every town in the world, in the United States at least. And she has a program where she will help you get started in your own business working with their techniques and everything. So that might be something, if anybody resonates with that, to do that. So.
Yeah, she said she would set up town meetings in the place where people could come if they wanted to know more about it. And she could train some people, then they could go on and work with others dealing with the sound.
Right. And I saw on her website that they had things where they would work with you to get you started and to get you into that program and everything. So,
but the doctors in the hospitals are definitely realizing her value. And she also, when we had her on the air on our show, she talked about how she can tell if someone is lying with that program, too. There's no way you can fool it.
Yeah.
So she's working with the police, you know,
right?
Training them on how to tell by people's voices.
Yeah.
So these are all like pioneers there, breakthroughs in all of this different kinds of energy work. There's a lot going on out there, folks. That's not what you think it is. You know, in the old days, none of this would have been believed. Nobody would have understood any of it. But we're moving more and more into this.
Very quickly. That's why if you are thinking, I'd like to do something, I just don't know what, and it seems really wild, it's just you bringing back something that you used to know and do, and it's probably not all that wild. You know, just go ahead. There may be something already out there started, or you may be a pioneer yourself into something. You never know. But.
Yeah.
Just go for it and see.
If it feels good and it works for you and you found ways to have it work, then go ahead and try it. The only restrictions are not to hurt anyone.
Right. And your intent always goes out way ahead of you. So if you're trying to do anything of that nature, everybody's going to know about it.
Feel it's the same way they're feeling.
Absolutely.
Well, it goes back to what the doctors always say, first do no harm.
Right.
And that's what I've always believed in my work, too, to try to do the best for all the people and not do anything to harm anyone.
Right.
Because I don't want karma coming back on me.
Well, you always put everything out there to be the best for everyone concerned.
The highest good.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are experimenting with different kinds of healing modalities and you found something that works, you say, well, you know, nobody's going to listen to me. Who am I? You may have made a breakthrough into something new.
Right, and just see how you feel about it. I mean, it might be that you'll blend it with something else if it doesn't quite feel right the way it is or something, or whatever. Just go with it. Let it flow and see what it happens. Because that's what I did with the energy work. I was taught one thing, and then when I finally got the guts to go ahead and try it, it immediately, I call it morphed on me. I mean, it took on a life of its own. It was like something I'd always been doing, and it's like somebody came in and into my hands and showed me what to do. And it wasn't like I was taught. But because someone pushed me and said, practice it, just try it, And I did. Then it did that. And it was like, I never would have known that if I wouldn't have just been willing to flow with it. But I was scared. I was scared to death to try it. It would seem so silly now. I was afraid it wouldn't be there.
Hmm.
And it's never gone. It's been there probably for eons.
It goes back to way back other lifetimes.
Right.
And it's getting stronger, too, the more you use it.
Oh, absolutely.
It.
Yeah, absolutely. And it keeps on taking on new life and everything. It's just, but that's its nature. And that's what you have to, oh, my hands are really warm right now. Talking about, but that's its nature. And that's what you have to be willing to do with it. When you sit there and go, no, it has to be this way, and you're rigid with it, you're not going to get the full benefit of it. Its energy is meant to flow, and so you have to allow it to just take you rather than you take it. And
if you were trying to block it, it'd do that, but no, it won't, not right, but then you will stop the flow.
You will, what they're saying is you'll limit the flow. Because you're placing limitations on it. Well, no, I have to do it this way because this is what I was taught. If you will just put your hands out there, I promise you, they will take your hands and they will move them and they will tell you what to do with them. Because it was so cool the first time that happened. I'm like, oh my God, my hands. I'm not in control of my hands. They're doing this, you know. I just knew where to go. And then I got mental messages or images in certain areas, you know, like things that they, whatever, was maybe important. And but just be open to it. So,
whatever comes in. Doesn't matter what it is, just listen to it and trust it because
absolutely.
You don't know where it's coming from.
Right, exactly.
That's what I tell people in my work. It's become a living thing. It's morphing and it's changing. It's
mm-hmm.
evolving.
Absolutely it is.
And
that's the beauty of it. You don't have it stuck in this thing. That's what everybody keeps saying is the beauty of it, is that it's an evolving thing. So, I mean, I think that's what they have to be now.
Yeah. Because if you say, well, this is what I was taught, I can never do anything but what I was taught. I can't experiment. I can't change.
Right.
But they were taught by somebody who taught them, who taught them, who taught them.
Right.
And never even stopped to think that you could change it. As I said, as long as you're not hurting anyone, you're free to experiment and see what you come up with.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, a lot of times I'll come home after a session and tell you, guess what I found out I could do today.
Right. But look what would happen if you weren't
open
to allowing that to go its own course.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you'd be saying, no, it has to go this way. Your feet have to come on the ground, that kind of thing. You know, you limit what can possibly happen. So just.
That's what some people who said they've taken my class. We had clients come in, and they
mm-hmm.
said they've gone to some of my students, and they said, they're not doing what you told me to do. They're being so rigid. It has to be this
yeah.
way
yeah.
without being flexible.
But that's the mark of a new student. That's typical, but that's where we're giving the message is, please be flexible with it. Let it, I think, well, you have rigidity because that's for security.
Mm-hmm.
But
they're afraid. They're
right.
Afraid
as you get more more comfortable with whatever method you're doing, you will allow it to take you rather than you having to feel like you have to control it. None of these are a matter of control. It's just go with them and see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to hurt anything. Your intent, remember, is sitting out there ahead of you. There's no way you're going to hurt anything or anybody. So
that's what some of them have told me, that the hypnotist, the student would try to rigidly stay with the script that
mm-hmm.
I gave them to practice
mm-hmm.
with, and then not understanding, well, everyone is not going
mm-hmm.
to follow that. You've got to be willing to go with it.
Right. It's a guide. That's a wonderful guide, but then you have to know when to let it go. So
because they go off in all kinds of weird directions.
Right. Well, it's like it's a skeleton. That's what's showing me. It's the backbone. It's the skeleton. And then they fill in the flesh, you know,
mm-hmm.
all the other
okay.
stuff. So.
Because they can go to lives you couldn't possibly imagine and has nothing to do with past lives anymore. It's all the weird and the strange
mm-hmm.
stuff. And if you're expecting it to go with the norm, it's just not going to do it anymore.
No.
We've gone past that.
Right.
That's what I'm finding in my work anyway.
Okay.
Well, another speaker we had was Tricia McCannon. She's an old friend. And I really respect all the research she does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Her book was about Jesus, and it was about the missing years and his training in all these other countries and with the secret mystery schools. And I know that for a fact hers is not channeled material. It's solid research.
Mm-hmm.
She's gone all over the world. She's found hidden records. She's talked to a lot of different people. And over the years, has put all this material together.
Mm-hmm.
She had so much.
Didn't have enough time.
There wasn't enough time. She said,
right.
You're going to have me come back. Because at the end, she couldn't even have time for questions.
Mm-hmm.
And she still hadn't done all of her visual presentation
mm-hmm.
with the slides.
Mm-hmm.
But she has traced it all back to the mystery schools and how it goes back to ancient Egypt, all the things in Jesus' life
mm-hmm.
and all of it. So it's a fantastic book. Now, her book was,
Is it on there? We have the book in the other room here.
Yeah, it's in the other room there, the name of the book. Because you remember I said one of our authors died, and he wrote the book
about Jesus
the healing Christ. And he died, and we talked about him there.
Mm-hmm.
Where he took all of the miracles that Jesus, healing miracles Jesus performed, was able to explain them all metaphysically and how we could all do the same thing.
Right.
But he, Robert Winterhalter, and he died while the book was at the printers.
Right.
So I asked Trish if she would come in and speak about it because it was on Jesus, although hers is different.
Right.
It's called Jesus, the 30 Lost Years and the Ancient Mystery Religions. How she connects it all with all of this. And it makes so much sense that everything he did was based on the mysteries at that time. Of course, the church never wants you to know any of that. They always want you to think he just came out of the hills one day with all of this knowledge and all these abilities and was never taught by anybody.
Right.
That doesn't take away from what he was able to do.
No, but it gives us power. And that's the... That's the fine thing.
He always said that. You
right.
can do what I do and more.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And we all have the abilities to do these different things.
Yeah, we just got to believe it.
Mm-hmm. Well, the church doesn't want you to believe it.
Mm-hmm.
They want you to think he was special
mm-hmm.
and nobody else could do what he did.
Well, he was special because he remembered.
And he was trying to show
mm-hmm.
others.
That's right.
But you imagine somebody coming into a life knowing all of this, and the people of the time were very ignorant. They were not
mm-hmm.
educated and tried to teach people
mm-hmm.
these things.
Yeah, but that's going on now when you have these new children coming in, and they know that things are possible, and then you have their parents or the adults in their world going, you are crazy. What do you? It's very similar circumstances, you
yeah.
know, just... And they probably were doing things, and then they got squelched. So,
yeah.
And
yeah.
not even those, but even the generation before that, because well, you know, a lot of people come through saying, I could do things when I was little,
oh,
and
yeah.
now, you know, I'm trying to get it back.
Your parents say, no, you can't do that
mm-hmm.
because people think you're crazy.
Right. Well, it's the
working
same world
with
he
devil.
Was in.
Well, you can
so.
Imagine Jesus must have felt the same way. Here he's working with children
mm-hmm.
who haven't got a clue what he's trying to say. So
right.
he had to teach it in a very simplified manner.
Mm-hmm.
This is why we found that Mary Magdalene was actually a priestess in Egypt, and she was trained in all of the mysteries.
Mm-hmm.
So her and Jesus had a lot in common because he could talk to her, and
mm-hmm.
she understood.
Right.
See, otherwise, he's out there with nobody to talk to, nobody understood. And he tried to share a lot of this with the disciples and the people that were following him, but it was way, way too complicated, and he
mm-hmm.
had to keep it simple. And that's why a lot of the men disciples were jealous of Mary Magdalene, because they did have a lot in common, and they could talk together.
Mm-hmm.
But it must be very hard on anyone who has a tremendous amount of information. They can't share it because no one will understand it. They're too
right.
far ahead of their time.
Right, but they chose those circumstances, so, you know, They wanted to be the lighthouse on that piece of land out there with no,
mm-hmm.
you know, to steer people in and safely. So
the same way
that
we went into the jungle with natives and trying to explain
mm-hmm.
even the simplest things, it would
right.
be very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, her presentation was very good, too. You were talking about the children. Well, Nikki Petello,
mm-hmm.
her book is... The Children of the Stars, And it's all about the new children that are coming in. And she gave a very good presentation,
yes,
too.
Yes, she did. Mm-hmm.
Talking about
right.
how to take care of the children, how
mm-hmm.
to understand them.
How to identify them, how to recognize them, which I think most people that are around these kids already know.
Yeah, they already
know.
There's
just something very special about them. You just know they're different.
Mm-hmm.
That's the biggest thing, so... But it's a lot about, yeah, how to recognize them and then how to work with them and how to...
And try not to force
mm-hmm.
them into,
mm-hmm.
back into the way we've always been, because
the
they're breaking all
yeah.
of the molds
mm-hmm.
and they're going in a totally different way.
Right, right.
Okay. Well, then we have to mention Blair,
oh,
Blair Syra.
Yes.
And we brought him over here from New Zealand, and he is taking America by storm, I think.
Yeah, everybody's falling in love with him. they get two in one with him, though. They get Blair and Tabash. So
because Blair has such a fantastic personality.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he goes into trance and Tabash comes through, Tabash is just another exuberant
mm-hmm.
personality.
Yeah, but I talked to someone who had a reading with him privately, and she's like, oh, I have two new loves in my life. And that's how they're just love is what you feel for both of them. It's
uh-huh.
just love. So.
And he was communicating with the audience. Of course, I always say he has it the easy way. He goes off and goes to sleep, goes somewhere else,
mm-hmm.
and then Tabash does the talking.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty cool, though. He was talking about he goes off and is put to work. So.
Oh, doing
yeah.
work on the other side.
Right, yeah. Sometimes they'll send him to places to help people and, you know, or the other side. It's just different things they have him doing. Which is cool.
Well, he's out of the
it's
body.
It's a lot of the things that we do at night, he's doing at that point. So I guess you do it any time you jump out. You go out
mm-hmm.
of the body. So
he goes out of the body and Tabash comes in.
Right.
As I always said, you're cheating because otherwise you have to think of what you're going to say in your lecture. And he doesn't. He's not even there.
Tabash has to think. But it's immediate. It just flows.
And he lays it on the line.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't mince any words.
Yeah,
with it.
If anyone can have an opportunity to have a private reading with him, you need to do it. I mean, if there's no mincing words, like she said, it's straight on. He hits you. I mean, it's got a very wonderful way he does it, but there's no pussyfooting around at all with him. So
and very, very accurate.
Yes.
Well, I guess we could mention that we are doing
mm-hmm.
a 5-city tour
mm-hmm.
in a few weeks.
Yeah, starts in 2 weeks. 2 weeks from like today or something.
Well,
I know, it's going to be here. Just boom.
Here, June's going to be. I don't know where the year is gone.
I don't either.
But the 4th of July, I'm going to be at the
ESETI
mm-hmm. conference, James Gilliland,
mm-hmm.
in Washington State. It's at his ranch. And one of the treats he's going to do is people are going to sit out there, and he guarantees you'll see UFOs.
Yeah, so we'll find out if they really exist.
as if we don't know already.
Yeah, we'll have some doo-doo-doo-doo moments.
But he said there, it's way out in the country on this ranch, and he says they see things out
yeah.
there all the time. So that's part of it is people are going to sit out at night and
mm-hmm.
see these things.
That'll be fun. I'm looking forward to that.
And there'll be a lot of good speakers.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people that I know. I know
mm-hmm.
one in particular
yeah.
is Mary Rodwell.
Uh-huh.
Who's coming from Australia.
She's a sweetheart. She's another sweetheart. Everybody's sweetheart.
Well, I think people who are in the metaphysical field, who are in
mm-hmm.
it for the right reason.
Yeah, genuine people.
They're no ego involved.
Right.
They
yeah.
are really good people.
They are, yes.
And I know most of them because I've had them on the show, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But she's going to be there. And there'll be several other people. I don't remember who else, but... That's going to be over the 4th of July weekend,
mm-hmm.
and it's in Washington State at James Gilliland's ranch. And the details are on our website
yeah.
and also on James Gilliland's website.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. But then after that, I don't
mm-hmm.
even think we're home. The next week is when we
yeah,
start
Yeah, the next
out.
Weekend it starts up.
That's when we're going on our 5-city tour with Blair. And we're going to be doing joint lectures like we did in Long Beach. Where I speak, and then he does his thing
mm-hmm.
with
mm-hmm.
the going into trance and letting Tabash speak.
Right.
And, you know, we're putting it on our email list, and we're sending out postcards.
Mm-hmm.
But if anybody's interested in these things, check out our website. But the first one is going to be in, where is it, in New
well,
Hampshire?
Well, it's Andover, Massachusetts, but the actual talk is in Nashua, New Hampshire. But it's like, so I guess those two must be really close together. Because
just over the line?
Yeah, because the bookstore we're dealing with is in Andover, Massachusetts. So I think it's just, yeah, the place we're speaking.
And Nashua?
Nashua, New Hampshire.
New Hampshire.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be doing a joint lecture there.
Right, and then Blair will be doing private readings.
While we're there.
He's got a limited number of openings. He may be booked now, I don't know, but I know he was doing private reading, so.
And then we go from there, we shoot all the way across the country.
Whee!
And to Ojai,
California.
And we're going to be doing the same thing there with the joint lectures.
Mm-hmm. Well, all of these will be the same joint lecture,
yeah.
You know, the same combining like that.
But you were saying that Ojai is a vortex.
We have three vortexes on
this
tour.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting.
This is
going to
be cool.
I didn't know that Ojai was,
I didn't either.
was one. This is one outside of L.A.
Yeah.
I didn't know that was considered
a
vortex.
None of us did. We just got informed of that.
So we do the talk in Ojai, and then we go the next day up to Mount Shasta.
Right.
Which is definitely a vortex.
Right.
And then we go over to Sedona. Which is a rather powerful.
So we're going to be vibrating.
You may have to calm us down after all of this.
Grounding time.
I have been to Sedona, and it does have a strange energy there. I always think it affects people in different ways.
I loved it. I absolutely loved it. So, I mean, it is different for everybody.
I think it magnifies whatever emotion you go into there with. That's what I found.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Sedona was never supposed to be any people living there. It was always the Indian sacred site where they would go and do ceremonies, and it was not supposed to be anyone living there. So they haven't been too happy that the white man moved in and built the city on their sacred land. But I don't know how people could live there all the time if they're in that vortex energy. But
I don't know.
We're going there. It'll be Ojai, Mount Shasta, and then Sedona. And then we'll be coming back through Dallas and doing a talk, the same thing in Dallas.
Yep.
Then I guess we get to come home.
Yeah, then we're done.
There'll be five cities. And then the week after that, I'm going back to Ojai to do...
Because we just love Ojai.
I've never been there. Going back there to do one of my hypnosis classes.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll be returning to the same place again.
Right.
Anybody who wants to know about any of these lectures, the class, or anything that's going on, check out our website, www.OzarkMountain, which is the name of our company, but it's abbreviated on the website. OzarkMt.com.
Or if it's easier, you can just do your name, DoloresCannon.com.
And it'll come up
either
also.
Either spelling of Dolores will come up, yes. Mm-hmm. It goes to the same site. Until I make you a site all your own, it goes to the same thing.
Okay. If you're overseas, it's OzarkMt.com. You'll have all the information about where the talks are going to be and who to contact.
Mm-hmm.
And then about the class, I'm only going to have two classes in the States this year.
Right.
Rest of the year.
Yeah.
Because we're going overseas again. The one will be in Ojai, and then in August, after I get back from Ojai.
All right. So just be a couple weeks later, I think.
Yeah, we're going to do the one here in
what
Arkansas.
What are we thinking?
I don't know. You're the one that books all these things.
I know. I'm thinking you're superhuman or bionic.
Bionic like Lindsay. Like, she doesn't give me any downtime, folks.
Yeah, you don't need it. You're a superwoman.
She doesn't give me any time to relax. We just got through putting this conference on, and now we're going
to
try to...
But they want to see you. They want you out there.
Well, the 1st of August, we'll be doing one here in Arkansas.
It's actually the 13th through the 15th.
In the Fayetteville area. So it's going to be continuous. And then we go overseas.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll be talking about more about that later. And when I'm doing these things, then they'll be doing archives, you know, taking the shows out of the archives because I can't be in two places at once.
Haven't perfected that one yet, huh?
I haven't figured out how to do that yet, how to actually... Well, we tried it when I was in Russia, and it didn't work so well.
Well, I think you were able to do it. Just technology was having a problem.
Yeah, we mm-hmm. even when I tried to do a class over there a few mm-hmm. months ago, the Skype wouldn't work.
Right.
So the technology is the problem.
Right.
Okay. And then we had one of our speakers was Irene Lucas, who talks about the 30 miracles in 30 days.
Mm-hmm. And the five steps that you take within each of her rays to accomplish anything you want to.
A lot of our speakers are talking about that, the
mm-hmm.
use of the mind to
mm-hmm.
accomplish anything you want.
Right.
You don't realize the power of your own mind. You can have anything you want. When I have clients and we bring this up, they don't understand what I'm talking
mm-hmm.
about. But you have tremendous power. All you have to know first is what I want, and you can create it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're here to do. Everything is energy, and they said the main reason you're here on Earth, one of the main lessons is to learn how to manipulate energy. And that means you can manipulate it in a way to create anything you want. That's one of the things we have to perfect, and
mm-hmm.
this is a very hard school to do it because
mm-hmm.
it's so complicated.
Well, and if you notice these times right now, that's why, cool, because it's given me some things, but then now it's putting it together. Okay, people will say, my gosh, the times right now are really hard. But what better
the economic times?
Right, but what better school ground to have to work through? I mean, if it was everything was wonderful and rosy, why would you even be trying to manifest something better? But this, see, it's a major, I got the major chills. It's a major, I don't like the word test, but it's a major
lesson we have to go.
Well, no, just a learning ground to work through, because you've got all this stuff laying in front of you, and it's like, well, and what I was getting earlier was, you know, if your life isn't quite the way, if you are having problems, I guarantee you, somewhere in there, even though you may not believe it, you may not think it, somewhere in there you're believing that that is your situation, and
mm-hmm.
that is what you're supposed to be doing right now, because whatever, everybody else is, or this is what they keep telling me, whatever, but I guarantee you, you're believing it. And that's why it's that way.
Uh-huh.
The minute you believe something else, it will turn and it will go another direction.
Because I've had clients that come in and they say, well, I've been sick all my life. There's no way I can get well. I said, all right, if that's your world, if that's the world
mm-hmm.
you want to live in, the same with
mm-hmm.
economic problems, money problems,
right.
if that's the world
right.
you want to live in, you can create that.
Right.
But you can just uncreate it just as easily
mm-hmm.
once you realize the power of your own mind.
Right, but doesn't that make sense, though? This is a time for us to really manifest and create. So now that's why we're in this muck, you know, because so it pushes us to do this, you know. It's like, wait a minute, I don't want this. I want something else. You have to get driven to that point to do that. So that's why all this is here.
Mm-hmm.
is we've got to get ourselves together and get us out of this, you know. That or you just go, okay, I surrender. You have to take over, you know. I mean, it's one or the other. Either you change your situation or you give up.
But if you don't work it, you're going to have to come back again and learn how to do it again, because you got to learn how to do all this before you graduate from this earth school anyway.
Yeah, but you're the one presenting yourself with the situation
yeah,
so that you will learn through it.
You
so.
Put it in your life for a reason.
Yeah.
Once you look at it, and if you don't like what you're seeing, then you can mm-hmm. uncreate it.
Right.
And they're more than willing to help you.
Well, actually, you create it either way. I mean, you know, you're the one doing it. So whichever, and as soon as you realize, hey, I did this, well, why don't I just do something I like, you know?
Yeah.
And as soon as you start going in that direction, everything changes. You are responsible. I created this. Okay, what do I want to learn from it? Okay, let's get beyond that. Let's learn something else now. I mean, you are in control.
But people don't realize that.
No,
and they just.
But we're here to tell them that. It's you.
This is what you have to do. If you're not in a situation
mm-hmm.
you like, well, then change it.
Change it. Exactly.
And it's very easy to do with the mm-hmm. mind.
You want to stay in the pity party? Or do you want to go somewhere else and do something else? I mean, it's you created that situation to learn from and, just, you know, get through it and get over it. I mean, go ahead and get on to the next thing. I mean, do you really want to stay there in that mud pile and, you know, I mean, dancing.
Like you're talking about pity party also, that's what I say, you want to be the victim.
Right, right.
I get clients like that. Mm-hmm. It's all pours me.
Mm-hmm. Well, we get stuck in that little script, you know, but pull yourself back and look at it differently. You have so much power. You created that. So pull yourself out of it, you know, and go on. I mean, that's the thing. I think once people realize that they did it, that changes everything. You can't be a victim anymore when you know you did it. Now, if you want to be a victim after that, that's on you. Mm-hmm. You know, that's just because you like that role.
You like that role, but then you're going to eventually have to come back and do it all over again with the same people, whether that's what you want to do or not.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Another fantastic speaker we had was Danyon Brinkley. And Julie got to meet him for the first time. I've known him for a long time. He is one wild and crazy guy.
Yes, he is. He's crazy. He was definitely entertaining.
But he really knows how to, I don't know, put on a show. The audience loves him.
Well, I laughed so hard I was crying. And I was probably just an inch short of falling out of my seat and rolling on the floor. I mean, it was just, he's very entertaining. He gets his message across that way. You know, it's just.
And he's very metaphysical. I mean, he says, well, what else can he be? He died 3 times,
right,
you know. Yeah. He's not going to take life seriously.
No, exactly, and that's just it. And it's like, nobody, you know, just like, don't take it seriously.
Because
it's
what he always...
It's a game.
It's
a big game.
They always say you're not going to get out of this life alive anyway.
Well, this body won't.
But that was what he was always saying. What are people going to do to me? Kill me?
Mm-hmm.
I've already been there, done that.
Right, yeah. Talk about the ultimate. I mean, you know, we have some bad things happen to us, and we can use that as our defense. So what are you going to do? You know, whatever, you know, may have happened to you before, but that's the ultimate one. Kill me? Yeah, once you've died, it'd be hard to scare you anymore. So.
And that first one, when he was hit by the lightning and he woke up in the morgue, he had to learn how to walk and talk and everything again because everything was gone. He was dead for 25 minutes.
Yeah.
But he was sent back here to do a job. And so he shows anybody can do anything.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they say nothing is impossible. You can do anything. He pulled it out. But now he spends most of his time working in hospice.
Mm-hmm.
And working with the veterans in the hospital,
right.
This has become his driving force.
And that's very
important.
Very important. That's a wonderful mission. You know.
He said he is. He wants that no veteran will ever die alone, and he has all these other people he's trained to sit by the sides of the bed
and talk them through it and explain what's happening.
Talk them through the death experience.
And they're not alone, and they go peacefully. So.
And this is what he's trying to do. And he was given the president, I don't know what president it was back then, but they gave him the Lifetime Achievement Award for Outstanding Volunteer Service because of what he set up.
Right.
And he's one wild and crazy guy, but I guess that's the only way he can be with everything that's happened to him. And they did make a movie, Saved by the Light, with Eric Roberts based on the story of what happened to him. And like he said, where he went from the horses behind. He was a horrible person, and all this happened. It really turned his entire life around. He's not at all like that anymore. But he said they're remaking that now. They're going to make it over again into a movie. It sounds like it's going to be a TV special, probably, because now they can do it with a lot of the special effects that they didn't have back 30 years ago when they made that movie.
Right. It could be pretty cool.
So a lot of this stuff is coming back. Lindsay Wagner's things are coming back. His movie's coming back.
Right.
So it's the time when it came out back then. That's what he said when this happened to him. Nobody knew anything about near-death experiences. They never even heard the term. They had no idea what it was. And he didn't know what happened to him. If he said, you're either alive or you're dead. That's all they thought.
Right.
But that was when Raymond Moody... he went to see Raymond Moody at a lecture, and for the first time, somebody was talking about near-death experiences, and nobody even knew the term. And he said Raymond Moody's book didn't come out until the early 70s. So they were all ahead of their time. Now it's common.
Just like you were all trailblazers. You came here to do that.
Yeah, I was ahead of my time.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
He was too, because now near-death experiences and all of that is part of the language.
Right.
Everybody knows it.
Right. Well, you guys are the ones that created this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not,
yeah.
That's where it came from.
Yeah,
so.
We didn't know anything about reincarnation,
mm-hmm.
past lives.
Mm-hmm.
Walk-ins, we didn't know any of that when I started out.
That's
so
because of you. Because of you and these other wonderful people, that's where it came from. It formed.
Yeah.
So
it has to start somewhere. And
absolutely.
That's now it has reached a peak to where it's affecting people all over the world, which
mm-hmm.
I think is wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. I want to mention Vitaly before we
mm-hmm.
sign
mm-hmm.
off here. Vitaly Savarov. We wanted him to be here so bad. We met him in England at a conference last October
mm-hmm.
In the Blackpool area
right.
on the coast.
Right.
And he was fantastic. He said
yes.
It was the first time he ever gave a talk.
Yeah.
And Julie really got to know him well, and we was trying to bring him over here, and they wouldn't let him leave England.
Right.
His Israeli passport.
Right, yeah, his Israeli passport, living in London, and they, U.S., whatever, customs or whoever he has to go
couldn't
through.
Get a visa.
No, they wouldn't let him out. They thought he was trying to move here. No.
We're just coming here to do a lecture.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a hard time with that. We said, okay, now with the miracles of cyberspace, mm-hmm. we did it long distance.
The beautiful thing Vitaly said, rather than, because before we were like, how can we get me here? How can we do this? And the beautiful thing was when he got his second rejection, he said, Julia, how can we get this information there? And that was the key word. I was like, oh, Skype. It was like, it was no longer getting a physical body. It was something else entirely.
Mm-hmm.
And that it worked beautifully.
That's the wave mm-hmm. of the future right
absolutely.
Now. It would have been good to have his physical body here, but it means we don't really have to.
Right. What was wonderful was, because when I saw his talk in Blackpool, or in St. Anne's.
Yeah.
The love, it's hard to describe. I mean, he does all these symbols and everything that he's been given, and he keeps writing, and he's just showing all of them, and then his beautiful music that's playing. It brought me to tears. I mean, I've never done that in a talk, and it was just like, oh, my gosh. And that's why I was so moved. It was like, we have to get this information out, you know, because it was just very important is what came across to me. This is very important. Well, when we were doing it this way, I was watching everybody. I was behind them, and I couldn't tell what their reaction was. If
because
they were,
he did the face on the
right,
screen up
exactly.
There.
Well, then when I came up to the front to see if there were any questions, oh, my goodness, there's tears, and there's people just crazing, and just like, oh, the love. And then when I got up there where I was actually talking, there came that love again. I'm like, oh, my gosh, it can be done by cyberspace. So it was wonderful.
So now we don't have to physically be there.
But we will do our best to get everybody physically here.
Yeah,
because
we do have other authors in England. We're trying to get over here. Some of them don't want to fly.
Mm-hmm.
So we maybe have to do it that way next year.
Right, it does lift our limitations, our parameters of what we can do.
Yeah,
so.
Because before it was like, and it's expensive to bring them a long way.
Mm-hmm.
But some of them just don't want to fly that far. But their books are excellent that we published, so now we know we can do it.
Mm-hmm.
By next year, the picture will probably even be better.
Right.
The
yeah.
Skype picture.
Mm-hmm. But it worked. Mm-hmm. It was wonderful.
I remember years and years ago when they were talking about someday you're going to have the telephones to where you can see the person you're talking to. And I said, that'd be interesting. You better make sure that you've got your clothes on when you go and answer the phone.
Right.
But now it's getting to that point, and it won't be long. I think that it'll be a part of every telephone. You'll just hook in.
Mm-hmm.
Things are changing fast.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Well, we're coming to the end of the time
here.
Yeah,
we had some other speakers there, too. Everybody was wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody was wonderful. And we have our DVDs of the conference available, the full conference package. Is available, and actually I'll have it on the website tomorrow, but you can call in and get it too. So
if anyone wants to buy the whole set, and we have every year that we've done it with our wonderful speakers,
right?
It has all in there. Oh, and at first Lindsay said she didn't want to be
right.
recorded, but then she decided she would be.
Yeah.
So her presentation is also on the DVD.
Well, but it's not. She just wants to see it first, so it'll be a little bit before that one's ready. But it was sent out today for her proofing, so we should know pretty soon. But that was wonderful. Yes.
I'm glad that she changed her mind and said, yes, I'll let you do it.
Yes.
So all of these things are available on our website. You can see the prices of everything.
Yeah. Give me till tomorrow to get it on there.
Okay, so we gave you the website, Ozark Mountain, OZARKMTR Dolores Cannon. Or you can call the office at 1-800-935-0045.
Or if you're overseas, it'd be 479-738-2348.
Okay. All right. So I think we've come around to the top of the hour again. And I didn't know we'd be able to fill it with just talking about
We're jabberwockies. We can talk.
All right. Well, next week I'll be on live, and then we're going on the traveling again.
But on the road again.
On the road again. Okay.
We just love the road.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks, everyone, for listening tonight. And good night, everybody.
Good night.